Hello, and you are listening to the Tech and Tonic Podcast, episode 26 of season 2, well, season 2021. This is a show where we talk and discuss about all things tech. So for those of you who are new here, if you love tech and you want to hear more about tech and discussions about it, this is the right place. And this week you're joining me, Darwin, again, and Jeevan, again,
yo,
to talk about tech. We still can't have guests because it's complex. It's really complex.
Essentially, we are not in the office now.
No, we're not in the office. And while we can get, you know, guests to come online on Zoom and stuff like that, recording with a guest sometimes is actually very difficult. We're going to come up with a few specials these coming weeks or so. And you're going to probably hear why it's a bit difficult to have guests on board, especially on Zoom platform and other platforms. Right now, we're recording on Discord anyway. So, yeah, we prefer using Discord to record. And we have our own method of recording this. If you haven't heard it, we recorded, you know, an episode where we discuss about what we use to record. Anyway, come back to the news last week. So last week, OnlyFans... We were talking about OnlyFans as well last week, right? They basically made a U-turn. They're like, oh, yeah, we're not going to ban, you know, explicit sexual contents anymore. And we're like, oh.
It's kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you made quite a big deal about it. And everybody just basically went in uproar. And then just suddenly, oh, yeah, you can continue making your contents. And we're not going to disturb you because... You don't have to worry about money anymore. I don't know. It's just really weird. But anyway, that kind of happened. So Google Maps, there has a new update. So now you can actually see the cost of, you know, going through tolls on Google Maps. Something that we've seen before on Waze, but never really made it into Google Maps for the longest time, actually. You know, and we know some people who prefer using Google Maps over Waze. So this would kind of help, I hope, I guess. At least to prep your journey ahead.
Yeah, it would be really useful to know how much toll you have to pay from here to Ipoh when you're using Google Maps.
Yeah, I mean, if you go there often enough, you know how much it is, lah. But
yeah,
to those people who are not so familiar, you know, it helps to know. Then at least... If you have touch and if you're using touch and go cards or, you know, the smart tag system or even if they allow the touch and go e-wallet to be used in the future, it would really help. Then you can at least prep some money in your e-wallet or something like that, you know? Kind of useful. Xiaomi was in the news for not, I wouldn't say the wrong reasons. They did launch a new phone, I think, a few weeks ago, but last week they kind of came out and say, hey, we're going to drop the Mi name. The Xiaomi Mi name.
Brand.
And yeah, it's that kind of brand. They're still going to launch one last Mi 11T, right? With the Mi branding. Okay, the Mi branding. Okay. And that's the last one that you're going to see with the Mi branding. So in the future, they're going to have like Xiaomi Mi, not Mi 12, a Xiaomi 12 or Xiaomi 12 Pro or Xiaomi 12T or something like that.
Yeah.
And kind of sad because... This Mi name is kind of iconic.
Yeah, considering, like, I think the first smartphone I actually got my mom was a Mi 3.
Yeah, same. My mom, my dad, and the Mi 3 was actually a really good phone for what we're paying. At the time, it was like $1,000 and less. It was so cheap. And it had, you know, flagship level performance. It was, in our opinion... One of the most true flagship killers at the time.
Yeah.
At least at the time. Okay. And now exorbitant prices. Never mind. We'll not talk about that. Microsoft last week announced that they're going to pull or basically take down their apps from the Google Play Store. Now, the biggest impact on this is not really just on Android devices because think about it this way. Okay. How much... Microsoft apps do you use on your smartphone? It's not that much, okay? What this is going to affect is the Chromebooks.
It's also a very weird move for them to do.
It is, but they quoted they were quoted saying that, hey, we're going to try to make the experience better for like Chromebook users especially, right? And that's the reason why they want to take down the apps and probably consolidate them into a single Office app or something like that, okay? Which is, to me, really, really weird as well still.
Yeah.
But you still can access these apps via the web, which is not so good. But yeah, that's what it is. I'm not sure why they're going to do that. But yeah, if you're using a Chromebook right now to work, you might want to switch over to the Google Suite, the G Suite apps, right? Because those are actually a lot more reliable on Chromebook than the current Microsoft app, even.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Considering it's going to go bye-bye, it's the most reliable option at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, you know. Netflix was also sort of in the news. We're not going to, you know, mention every new show that they're going to release, okay? Because we don't
so
do
many.
That. But they are sort of in the news for probably the right reasons. They are testing Netflix gaming in Poland right now. It's been something that's been rumored to happen. They want to go into gaming. That's not new. We kind of know that they want to go into gaming. But they haven't actually took action about it until like last week when they started testing, which is quite good news. But at the same time, the way they implement the games is a bit weird. Okay, so they've mentioned that it's going to be mobile games only, which is fine. It's nothing wrong with that. But we actually thought that they were going to do like, you know, the game streaming services like what, Google Stadia, Apple Arcade. And it's nothing like that. It's weird. It's weird. Like, how you install the games on Netflix games, okay, is basically go to the app itself on Netflix app, which is fine, okay? And then you click on the games, and it has to be installed on your phone. The weird part is that the apps has to be installed from Google Play Store itself. And then, for you to launch the game, you can't launch it from your home screen itself. You have to go into the Netflix app and launch it from there. And yeah, you can play your games from the Netflix app, but the games are installed on your phone, which is kind of weird.
That makes no sense.
It is, but I think this is very early in their development, we should say, right? So probably give them some time. We'd love to see, you know, Netflix come up with, you know, more games, because they do have like Stranger Things mobile game now.
Yeah.
And I think those are quite interesting, but we'd like to see more. Like maybe come up with what an Okja game? Not Okja. What are their Netflix exclusives currently?
Witcher.
Ah, yeah, maybe come up with a Witcher mobile game with CD Projekt Red. I'm not sure. Okay, it's
Shadow and Bone.
Yeah, it's a good platform. It's kind of expected, right? Because everyone's on contents nowadays.
Yeah, but I also think it might be a precursor to what we can really expect from them.
True. So, yeah, we're going to wait and see what's going on. But it is a pointer to something more exciting in the future. While it's not so exciting now, the news is not that great because the implementation is really just weird. You can read all about it on our site, www.techn.tv. You know, but yeah, it's an indication that they are ready for something bigger, right?
Yeah,
hopefully.
That I agree.
Yeah, maybe you can play Bandersnatch in real life. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, Google was also in the news. You know, they're not the Chromebooks. Okay, they finally launched something with Fitbit. Like, finally, this is the first Google Fitbit smartwatch tracker, fitness tracker thing that they launched. This is a Fitbit Charge 5. Like, finally.
Yeah, but I also think it's not a full collaboration just yet.
Mm.
I think they did preface with that.
Kind
of. It's the first Fitbit device under Google.
Kind of. And people are already calling it the Google Fitbit Charge 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, some news outlet have already started calling that thing that. But it is basically a charge, Fitbit Charge device with some improvements on it. And it's still the same Fitbit interface that I see that we can tell, at least for now.
I think it's closer to the Versa and What was the other one?
The Sense.
The Sense interface, because it's fully color now. And you also have ECG.
Yeah, so we're not sure how it will work with Google Health just yet, because we haven't touched it, right? So we're going to have to wait and see whether, you know, it will work nicely with Google Health, because that's something that Fitbit don't share with Google last time, the last round. Even, you know,
at least they're not supposed to.
Correct. Even with the, you know, Fitbit Versa and Sense, the recent one, okay, you can't actually interface your data with, you know, Google Health. And that's something that, you know, even Samsung has done before.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, some health information from your Samsung Galaxy Watch 3, I think, to Google Health, if I'm not wrong.
I think so. I can't remember which.
Yeah. Anyway, we come to the biggest thing that, you know, kind of shook our world. Because TSMC came out last week and said that, hey, we're going to increase our chip prices. And that kind of brings us back to when we were talking about building a PC. And it's just more than that now, because TSMC is one of the largest, if not the largest, chip makers in the world. Okay, and them increasing prices also means that if you want to get, let's say, an AMD gaming laptop or a PC, or you want to build your PC with an AMD chip, because they are the appointed manufacturer for AMD, you're going to have to expect some increased prices.
Yeah, this also applies to iPhone chips.
Yes, and it's not just iPhone. This is also applying to Qualcomm. Because
yeah,
they
so,
are one of the manufacturers there.
Yeah, one of the biggest things now is that they have so much demand,
mm-hmm.
and they're increasing prices, which means that technically the prices of chips, which are already insane at this point,
mm-hmm.
is going to go higher.
Yeah, it's... To us, it's kind of nonsense, okay? Because the demands are there. People do want to buy these chips. So why is the price increasing? Like, how? Why?
I think it goes back to because they don't need the money, but they control the market so much. It's up to them what the price is.
That is true. And even Samsung's pricing are not that low as well.
Yeah.
So other than, you know, TSMC, the biggest chip maker in the world currently is Samsung. So yeah, they're not that cheap. And TSMC has been known to, you know, have more reasonable pricing, at least in the supplier market, compared to Samsung. And to be fair to TSMC, their technology is not that far back from Samsung, if I'm
wrong. I also think it has to do a lot with what is happening in the world now. Mm. Like, because even in Malaysia, we're still in a state where we are semi-locked down.
True.
We're semi-shut down.
Mm.
Chip fabricators, import exports in Malaysia are being affected.
Yeah, and this is a bigger problem, not just for Malaysia, right? It's a chip shortage. There's just a general chip shortage in the world. And it's not just affecting the PC building market anymore. Well, not ever. It's not just the PC market that was affected indirectly. It's a lot of things. I mean, early on in the COVID period, people were talking about, hey, cars are going to be short. You know, a lot of factories will not be able to produce enough cars or to keep up with demand. Or, you know, they're going to have to scale down their operation or their production because there's not going to be enough chips going around. There's just not going to be enough processors or, you know, these micro, what do you call them? The silicons or microprocessors,
yeah,
to actually go around. It's going to be bad. But
yeah,
no
but
one
at the
knew
same...
how bad it would be.
Yeah, no one actually predicted how bad it would be. But at the same time, I think the demand, particularly when it comes to graphics card and computer processors, has skyrocketed during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been, and it still is high. It still is very high. People still want to buy, but
Yeah, graphics you can't find cards anything. Are insane right now.
You can't find any of them. But this also means that, you know, the Radeon, the AMD Radeon graphics cards are going to be more expensive.
It's not just the graphics card. It's going to be across the board.
Yeah.
Even your Intel chips are going to be more expensive because Intel also uses TSMC.
Yeah, but Intel, I think, is slightly less affected because they do have their own foundries as well. And they do have their own production plants as well. So I think they're going to be a bit less affected because they do have a control over their production line. And you have actually seen that their prices have dropped, right? Even compared to the AMD ones. You can buy the new 11th generation Intel Core processors at a slightly cheaper price compared to the AMD Ryzen chips. Yeah. You can see that already, right? So with this one, the price gap might just get a bit bigger.
And it's a bit worrying though, because I think because a lot of companies rely on TSMC so much.
TSMC.
We're at the point where TSMC can just make all the shots.
Yeah. So it's bad, okay? And it's exaggerated all around the world because it's not just the chips that are in demand that is short in production stage. It's bottlenecked everywhere. Like shipping is delayed everywhere around the world. And we all think that we're recovering, right, from COVID. But in truth, it's still quite a long way to go.
I think we still have a year or two before we're back to normal per se.
Correct. Like, one of the biggest problem with, you know, chip shortage is, you know, the final steps in production. And a lot of those are actually done in Malaysia, if you haven't known yet. Okay, Malaysia has three big plants that do, you know, the final steps of a chip production, which is just testing the chips, getting them ready for shipping, packaging them, and then shipping them out. Basically from Malaysia. And if you do pay attention, sometimes you will see behind an AMD box, you know, an AMD Ryzen box, that it says packaged in Malaysia. You might find it, okay, on your box. And that's where your chips come from. It's a bit weird in this sense because what happens is that the chips is prepared here and then it's shipped out to the US and then it ships back here. And that's
we end up paying more shipping than anything else.
Yeah, but it's quite true for, you know, a lot of products. Like, this is not just unique to chips that's produced in Malaysia. It's also true for toys that are made in Malaysia. It's weird, but it is what it is.
It's hilarious, though.
Yeah,
but at the same time, this chip shortage is not just going to affect, like, your laptops, phones, and stuff like that. It may even affect your car prices.
Yeah.
Because there's so many chips in the cars nowadays.
Yeah. So if you don't even think about the Teslas, right? The Teslas are basically made with electronics in mind and they're running on electronics and battery. That's a given, right? But think about it, okay? How many Teslas have you seen on the road? Especially in Malaysia. You don't see almost any. There's only like a handful.
Yeah.
And they don't even maintain it here. You can't even maintain a Tesla here. So the spread of electronic cars is not that much, actually, even in the global terms. But cars today, even the traditional ones, are relying on, you know, computers so much, relying on electronics so much, and they do need these chips. Just last week, Toyota had to close down their plants, 14 of their plants across Asia, okay? Ford has to close down their plant in the US producing trucks, okay? And they're all citing to this chip shortage problem. It's bad, okay? And you're not going to be... Well, cars are not cheap and they are not going to be on top of your priority list. You're not going to be able to buy a new car now. Well, the ones that are just fresh rolling out of production lines. Right.
Yeah, and
yes,
it's
gonna be expensive.
On top of that, we can expect to see other things go up in price.
Oh, definitely.
TVs, even your headphones.
Right. So
all of them use chips.
Yeah. it's more things than you can realize. It's not just cars, it's not just PCs. The TVs that you use now, the smart TVs, you know, TV boxes, and even the all-in-one PCs that you want to find and stuff like that, they use chips. Don't even consider that. Your gaming consoles, your PlayStation 5, your Xbox Series X, and your Nintendo Switch, they're all in short supply right now. And that's why you can see, like, you know, PlayStation 5's, the pre-orders coming up, and then it just ends the next day. Because
yeah, they're still out of stock.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you get, you know, shops, you know, selling these stuff at like 5,000 ringgit, twice more than they're worth.
Yeah.
And you're going to expect to see them at least for another year, I guess, you know. You're going to have to expect that. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to live through this, actually.
I think one thing that you might not expect is that your Nintendo Switch games might be more expensive.
Yeah. That has been true anyway, la. Okay.
At the cartridge of a Nintendo Switch is actually a chip.
Oh yeah, it is true.
So yeah, that might be affected as well.
But that's why also you don't really see Nintendo Switch games or, you know, the cartridges going on discount or massive discounts. As far as I know, not as much as PlayStation games or, you know, Xbox games or PC games anyway. Yeah.
I tried to pre-order the new Pokemon games. It's costing nearly 500 ringgit for both versions.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
Yeah, and more than that, you're going to have to think about, hey, what about, you know, your IoT stuff, your fridge, okay? Your fridge today, your microwave even. These things do rely on some sort of chips these days, especially those with, you know, displays. Anything with a display today, yeah, you know, uses a chip.
I don't think we realize how important the silicone is in our daily lives nowadays.
Yeah.
Anything that connects to the internet, anything you control from your handphone, anything that has a display technically has a processor at this point.
Anything that has Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, you know, anything that has those wireless capabilities, those are chips. And they're going to be very expensive.
Well, so, at least I think at this point, TSMC has a foundry being built, an additional foundry being built.
Mm-hmm.
And Intel is also moving into foundry business as a service.
Yeah, and even I think Samsung is also building new foundries everywhere. Well, not everywhere, in China, okay? But
yeah.
It's not going to seem to end for now. Because these foundries, while they are being built already, you can only see them start operating in 2 or 3 years' time. Okay, and maybe they will be doing more in catching up in the production and the demand side, and just trying to keep up with all the demands before everything normalizes. So it might take even longer than that for us to see some sort of, you know, normalizing, at least with, you know, these chips. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of bleak.
It's a very bleak situation at this point. And yeah. I think TSMC increasing prices doesn't do anybody any favors.
No, it's not. It's not doing us any favors. We're like, ah, means our smartphones will have to increase in price again.
And they were just coming down again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, it's a situation where it's a chicken and egg story. You don't have enough foundries to create the chip, and the person with the foundries is increasing their prices.
Yeah, and some of them have to close their factories because COVID.
Yeah, and I think to a large extent, a lot of these dependencies have just crumbled under the pressure of a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, it's not the end of the road. You know, because I think a lot of us already has like devices that could last us a while. I think like if you do have a smartphone that's probably a year old and you're used to changing your phone every year, I will tell you now, don't. Please don't do that. Okay, please don't make things worse than it already is for people who actually need these things. You know, I think one of the biggest ways, you know, that you know, even manufacturers are contributing to all this is that they're trying to lower down the demand, or at least shipping out of their high-end devices. They're trying to push more mid-range devices now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it then requires them to make less things, or be less stringent with their high-end stuff. Because those are more demanding, right?
Yeah, they are, but also if you realize, a lot more of the mid-range phones nowadays are coming with either this year's super high-end mid-range chip,
mm-hmm.
or last year's super high-end.
Yeah, and these mid-range devices, I will tell you, are already amazing, right? You don't actually, in today's world, if you want to buy a smartphone, you don't need the latest Qualcomm Snapdragon 888. You don't. You really don't. Okay, you can just make do with a Snapdragon 700 or even 600 series. Those will work. Like, you don't need super high-end
stuff. Technology is such where the difference is really not that much, especially if you're using it like day-to-day.
Exactly.
Different case if you're doing things like massive multimedia work on it.
Yeah, which you are not going to do anyway. Because if you're in the multimedia business, you're going to have certain rigs that you're going to be using already anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you want to buy a new shiny smartphone, but your smartphone is probably only 2 years old, maybe you don't think about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with, you know, laptops or desktops, I'd suggest probably not think about it so much just yet. Like what we said earlier in our PC building episode?
Yeah, I think the best thing you can do now is, if it still works and you're not dying, you basically stick to your old stuff.
Exactly. And on that good note, we didn't want to end this with a bad note, right? So, so you see how hard we're trying? I mean, on that note, we have to end the show, because that is all the time we have for today's episode of the Tech and Tonic podcast. Thank you everyone for listening in. Thank you again for staying with us through until what, episode 26 of season 2 now? If I count properly, we've already done 54 episodes. And we are heading towards the close of the year, which is quite sad. But tomorrow's National Day for Malaysians, so happy Merdeka. Selamat Merdeka. Is that the right?
Selamat Hari Merdeka.
Ah, Selamat Hari Merdeka. Yeah, so...
yeah.
Have fun with your celebrations. And thank you again for listening. If you do have any comments on our show, you can reach out to us on any of our social media. That's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even LinkedIn. We are TechEnTV across all of that. That's TechEnTV. You can even reach out to us on our website and read up on a lot more things on our website. We have contents there every day, and you know, we're trying to come up with more reviews every week. This week we have, I think, a review coming up, or we did a review last week, right? On the Acer Spin 5.
Yeah, we have the Spin 5 last week.
Yeah, so you can watch that, and you know, let us know what you think from on our YouTube channel as well. And you can visit our website, of course, at www.techand.tv. okay, and if you can find our email there, just personally email us if you have any thoughts on the show, or if there is any comments at all. Of course, we're also available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, so give us a shout out over there if you can. Alright, and we will see you next week. We're going to talk to you again next week. So for now, we're signing out. Bye bye.
See ya.